And because it's Friday by now, you know to listen to every musical selection that Mr. Mike Parsons is playing today. And if you can correctly identify our Thank Goodness It's Friday musical theme, we've got tickets to see none other than Donny Osmond in concert at Detroit's Fox Theater. That's coming up July 25th. Guy's still got a great voice. Got to hand it to him. So we'll handle that sometime a little bit before 5 p.m.
He's somebody who would really regret if he just stayed silent and did nothing. And so he doesn't want to live his life that way.
Why should people believe that your client is not motivated by political considerations in coming forward here?
In terms of credibility, he's willing to be cross-examined. He's willing to be tested. He has documents that support some of the assertions he wants to make.
Wow, what could be in those documents? That is the attorney for the unnamed 10-year veteran of the IRS who says that these numerous investigations into the business dealings of Hunter Biden are being mishandled. He essentially is saying in a letter that he wants whistleblower protection to offer this information because, quote, preferential treatment and politics improperly infecting decisions and protocols that would normally be followed by career law enforcement professionals in similar circumstances if the subject were not politically connected. In other words, would there be indictments by now if Hunter had a different last name? And he's saying yes, and that he has the evidence to prove it. So how might this roll out? We welcome in Todd Flood, attorney and managing partner at Flood Law. Todd, good afternoon. Happy Friday.
Hey, happy Friday. Good afternoon, Gak.
So according to numerous reports, and you've been on the inside of these investigations, and you know, you wrap up the digging, and then you got to put together the rest of it. So I just want to take it from that standpoint. The IRS finished its look into Biden's taxes over a year ago. The FBI investigation into the gun violation and some other stuff wrapped up a year ago as well. The Wall Street Journal, many other publications say investigators have believed for months now that they've got enough to indict. So help me understand, if not political pressure, what could be behind the DOJ delay in bringing these charges? Can you see something that legitimately might be reason for pause?
The $64 million question is going to be whether or not they have enough to prove the case beyond a reasonable doubt. They may have enough to show, hey, there's probable cause to believe that a crime was committed and probable cause to believe that this person committed the crime. But when you're going to pull the trigger on such a case in such a position, you want to have enough evidence to say, all right, that's great to get the indictment or to get the charge. Do I have enough to prove this case beyond a reasonable doubt in front of a jury? That may be one consideration that they take and look at and, you know, want to get to. The other is, you know, the question of an elephant birthing a mouse. Is this a case that normally is prosecuted? Is this a case that we look at for misrepresentation? Is there something here that is criminal that we – oftentimes, if always prosecute, I guess they have to ask that question. This whistleblower seems to say yes. And if this whistleblower comes in front of everybody and willing to be cross-examined, I just read a portion of this information that was sent to through his lawyer. It seems as though he wants to be completely transparent and wants that prophylactic protection of, I don't want to lose my job. I don't want to be retaliated against. And this is information here where I see quid pro quos or I see favoritism, therefore protect me. If that's the case and it comes out that there was something in essence, the wink and the nod, or, you know, I'm not prosecuting you because it's A, B, C, and D of who you are, or there was special circumstances not to do it, that's going to be very troublesome.
Well, they're going to have some form of deniability. I've got to believe that. But if indeed there is evidence, and he claims that he's got emails and some other things that he will proffer as proof of this, is there criminal liability here for either his supervisor or those above him if it can be proven that they have told them you need to pump the brakes on the president's son?
Yeah, so Two things. One, failure to act, right? It can be a charge and a criminal responsibility, or a misconduct in office charge, which can be a felony, a 5-year felony. So misconduct in office can be brought as it relates to a government official that does some overt acts with a corrupt intent. So, Guy, if someone said, bury the document over there, that's an overt act, right? And you did it with, you got to show, with the corrupt intent of, I don't want this man prosecuted. I want everything here to be destroyed so there's not a trail. That, you know, is tampering with evidence, tainting evidence, and the like. Now, if someone was that crazy and that foolish in today's day and age of, you know, computer and forensic footprints and everything else, it seems to me to be one dumb criminal. But, you know, we've seen it all the time. I can't imagine that it's that blatant. My guess of things is this: disparity in treatment. That's what's going to be, right, I think, shown. And disparity in treatment. You know, John Doe over here, he got charged with this, and here this person didn't. The question becomes, is there discretion in charging? Right. And it happens every day of the week. No prosecutor can say that, that they haven't given a pass or a diversion or some sort of you know, non-charged decision. And you take two cases or take one case to two different counties in our tri-county area, and I promise you, some cases by Pete Lucido will be charged and some by Eli in Washtenaw County won't be charged.
Right.
So, you know, there you
so
go.
It's interesting because in this letter, he talks that this was more or less prompted by the sworn testimony of a senior political appointee. That individual purportedly is Attorney General Merrick Garland, who went before and under intense questioning from Senator Grassley said, there are no limitations on the U.S. District Attorney in Delaware that's investigating this. If it turns out that Merrick Garland either didn't know, which would make him neglectful at best, or lied, does he have some exposure here? And does that become the other $64,000 question?
Yes. So the issue first that you mentioned of not knowing the neglect, there are so many, I would imagine, so many people that report to him, and he has to rely upon the people that, you know, give him information. It's not he's pulled in a million different directions. That's not an excuse by any stretch of the imagination. But the question is, what did he know? When did he know it? And what responsibility did he have to know it? The second, the issue about perjured testimony, that, you know, if that is the case, and I just can't imagine that, knowing who he is and his integrity, I can't imagine that he perjured himself in under sworn testimony. If that's the case, oh my goodness gracious me, that's an insane case.
Either way, it's a bad look on the chief law enforcement officer of the nation.
Yeah, no question about it. No question about
it. If proven, and again, there's a presumption of innocence with Hunter. We still have much to learn about the laptop and whether or not all the contents on it has been thoroughly vetted as being his original content, that there's no metadata saying it came from something external and was placed on the laptop. There's a lot yet to learn, but a fascinating revelation. And it's in the hands now, Todd, of Inspector General Michael Horowitz, who showed that he didn't suffer fools on the Russian collusion case.
No, he didn't. No, he didn't. And he is one sharp, hard-hitting attorney that I think he not only does he not suffer fools. He's one that, whether it's popular or not, he stands in the position of doing what's right.
Yeah.
So, you know, we'll see what happens. But I think Hunter Biden and everyone can understand, you know, he is basically not only a thorn, but he's taking away a lot, both sides of the aisle, from the president and or administration and or our country, from, you know, diversions in other areas that are crazy.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
I you know, I'm already over time, but I got to ask you. There's one thing in here in the many charges they're talking about. Felony gun charge, a charge on the on tax evasion, perhaps. The one thing that they're not talking about in any of the media stories about forthcoming charges is influence peddling or being an unregistered foreign agent. Does that sound like they can't connect the dots back to his dad or on the big charges?
So I believe so. Right. And you got to remember, the Republican Party did a separate investigation on this case, and it took place with regards to some of those issues and did not come up with a finding of any kind of impropriety of those two things. Now, obviously, it's being led differently now, and we'll mm-hmm. see, you know, in Congress what comes up in the investigations that are taking place. But my thought is that they couldn't do exactly what you were saying, thread the needle as it relates to the president and his son. I think the son puffed a lot, you know, overblown his position. I think mm-hmm. that was shown 10 times from Sunday, right? He said to many, it looked like anyway, and I got to believe everyone would agree, that he had influence
right.
or could wager influence, and that those statements in and of themselves are horrific, but, you know, they couldn't connect that dot
exactly.
Or link to the president. And it's been looked at so many different times. So
at least not yet. But there is a lot here, but there's also something significant that we're not seeing, and we should at least point that out as well. Todd, take care. Have a great weekend.
You too, my friend. Always great talking with you.
And same here. When we come back, her parents had to say goodbye to her several years ago, but she is still saving the lives of others. We'll tell you how next on The Guy Gordon Show.